بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. وعن معاذ رضي الله عنه قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: من كان آخر كلامه لا إله إلا الله دخل الجنة. رواه أبو داود والحاكم، وقال صحيح الأسناد. وعن أبي سعيد الخدري رضي الله عنه قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: لقنوا موتاكم لا إله إلا الله. رواه مسلم. These two ahadith, Imam Nawawi rahimahullah has brought it under the chapter Talqeen al-Muhtadhar. Muhtadhar is a word which refers to a person who is in the last gasp of life, what we call Sakarat. At that time, the importance of trying to ensure that the Mayyit departs this world with the Kalima on his lips, and those that are around him, those that are visiting him, family members, dear ones, associates, beloved, etc. What are the steps that they can take to try to ensure this? One is the benefit of departing the world with the kalima. The first is the hadith of Muaz bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who reports that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that that person whose last words are la ilaha illallah, dakhal al jannah, such a person will enter into Jannah. We find that this hadith along this meaning, there are more than one hadith. For example, the riwayat of Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu: man kana akhiru kalamihi la ilaha illallah lam yadkhul innar. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that that person whose last words are la ilaha illallah, he will never enter the fire of Jahannam. Another narration: man kana akhiru kalamihi inda al-maut la ilaha illallah wahda la sharika la هدمت ما كان قبلها من الذنوب والخطايا. That person who at the time of death recites لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. There is no deity besides Allah. He is one and he does not have any partners. This declaration at the time of death will cause all his previous sins, omissions, errors, etc. to be wiped out. Shaitan, at the time of the death of a person, one is inna shaitana lakum aduun fattakhidhuhu aduwa. Allah tells us in the Quran, shaitan is your enemy. Adopt him as an enemy. Realize the danger that shaitan poses. Throughout the life of a person, ultimate goal of shaitan is to deprive a Muslim, a believer, a person of iman, to deprive him of his iman. And obviously, when the end is drawing near, now is the time of the departure of this person from this world. Naturally, if you have an enemy, your whole life's mission was to work against him. Now that he is leaving the world, this is the last chance that you have. So obviously, your efforts to do achieve your goal and your objective will be multiplied manyfold. Why? Because now, after this, it's too late. Shaitan will not be able to do anything. So we find that this realization or this conscientizing one of the importance of this critical juncture right at the end, particularly as we see in the previous ahadith, that the time when the soul departs the body, this is a very trying time. It's a time of pain. There is, when the soul is disconnected from a body in which it was living its entire life, we find that years and years of association, when the separation takes place, it is not something of ease. There is discomfort, there is pain. So at the time when a person is facing pain and discomfort, then many times such an individual is not fully possessive of his abilities to ward off the efforts of shaitan. So to conscientize us of this, we find that Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there are manqul du'as he would make: a'udhu bika min an yatakhabbatani shaitanu indal maut. A'udhu bika, oh Allah, I seek your protection. Min an yatakhabbatani shaitanu indal maut. That shaitan should overpower me, should waylay me, should deceive me, indal maut, at the time of mort. Allah na kare, if shaitan has to
deceive someone before maut, there's still time to come back. If shaitan deceives a person at the time of maut, then there is no coming back from that. Because once a person passes away, he can be fine. We learn in Quran also that the person who passed away in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he'll beg from Allah to send him back, give him an extension. But لَيُؤَخِّرَ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهَا. Allah will not give any ta'khir or any extension. This is why, like I mentioned, we find ahad in the ahadith, du'as. اللهم اجعل خير عمري آخرة وخير عملي خواتيمة وخير أيامي يوم ألقاك فيه. Oh Allah, make the best portion of my life the last portion. Make the best actions that I do at the time of maut, at the time of khatima. Let give me husnul khatima. اللهم ارزقني حسن الخاتمة. This being aware of the dangers and what a deep precipice, an incline or ravine or deep hole that maut can represent. Becoming aware and conscious of that, we learn many, many ahadiths of Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For example, we find it is part of the manqul du'as that at the time that ask Allah to bless you, to protect you at the time of maut. One we find in Mullah Ali Qari rahmatullah alayhi in his Hizbul Azam collection of du'as, we find that day he mentions that 25 times a day, Allahumma barik li fil maut wa fi ma ba'd al maut. 25 times a day, Allahumma barik li fil maut. Allah give me barakah at the time of maut. Allahumma barik li fil maut wa fi ma ba'd al maut, and after maut, after death. So what are the steps that those that are living associated with this person at the time of muhtadar, at the time of sakarat, this person is in the last gasp of life, those that are around him, what are you supposed to be doing at that time? One is, we find people recite Quran. It's mentioned iqra wa ala mawtakum yaseen, that recite Surah Yaseen. فَتَقْرَهُ عَلَيْهِ عِنَّ مَوْتِهِ فِي بَيْتِهِ وَمَدْفَنِهِ. That this is read in the house at the time of maut, even in the qabristan, etc. But one amal that we learn in this hadith, Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu ta'ala narrates, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَقِّنُوا مَوْتَاكُمْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. This talqeen, which Imam Nawawi rahimahullah has made the part of his heading, talqeen of the mayyit, that is reciting loudly in front of the mayyit, La ilaha illallah. Because the goal and objective is somehow or the other to encourage and entice this person to recite La ilaha illallah, as we see the many, many virtues of reciting La ilaha illallah at the time of maut. Now, what form does this talqeen take? This reciting of La ilaha illallah loudly in front of the maid, what form does it take? On the one hand, we find that we learn that this is a very challenging and a very difficult time that this person is going through. And Allah nakare, we find Allah protect us. We find that in the kitabs of the Aslaf, the pious predecessors, they mention incidents of individuals who actually failed in this battle at the time of maut. And there were those very, very pious people that were tested, greatly tested at the time of maut. With regards to those that had failed, Rabia bin, for example, Rabia bin Bazza, rahimahullah, mentions in his kitab, Allama Qurtubi rahimahullah is also in his At-Tadhkira fi Ahwal al-Mawta has mentioned such incidents, that there was a pious man, Rabia bin Bazza was a pious person from Basra. He relates that once a person of his town was dying and people were making talqeen, those that were around him were reciting La ilaha illallah, and this person's response, instead of reciting La ilaha illallah, this person was addicted throughout his life to wine and liquor. We find that we learn also from other ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that normally there is a proclivity, there is an inclination that at the time of maut, a person will do the actions he was doing while he was living. كَمَا تَحْيَوْنَ تَمُوتُونَ. As you live, what was the preparation that was made? This person, throughout his life, was drinking liquor, didn't make tawbah. So at the time of maut, when the kalima la ilaha illallah was being read in front of him, his response was, have a glass for yourself. He was offering the people liquor. And he was saying, let me have one also. In other words, he was saying this loudly, and in this condition, this person passed away. Like that he mentions in in Ahwaz, there's another place in Basra. There was one person at the time of maut, kalima was being recited in front of him, La ilaha illallah. In other words, Talqeenul Mayyit. This person, his whole life was tijarat, business. So this fikr, he carried it with him right up to maut, and he was offering people, he was a cloth merchant. So in our currency, like 10 rand a piece, 11 rand a piece, 12 rand a piece, this person was reciting this over and over again, instead of the kalima at the time of maut. Where, like that, we find amongst even the pious, the famous incident of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah, that his son narrates, Abdullah his son, says, my father, who was Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal? Such a personality that the muarrikhin write, they say there are two individuals in history, they say, lawla huwa lama ubidallah. In this ummat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if it were not for them, this accolade and honor they give them, that if it were not for them, lama ubidallah, Allah's name would not have been taken on this earth. One is Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the manner in which he conducted himself at the time of the maut of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when all the various fitnas arose, particularly fitna of the murtaddeen, people that had become murtad, and those that were refusing to pay zakat, etc. So, muarrikhin write, they say, Lawla Abu Bakr lama ubidallah. If it were not for Abu Bakr, Allah's name would not have been taken on this earth. And at the time of the fitna of the khalq-e Quran, where the attempt was made to say that the Quran is makhluk, a creation, in other words, it would have opened the door to the adulteration of the Quran. The person, the alim who stood up at that time particularly, was noteworthy of the manner in which he stood up against this fitna, was Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah. This is why about him also, what we can write, Lawla Ahmad lama ubidallah. If it were not for him, Allah's worship would have been removed from the surface of the earth. Such a personality, yet his son Abdullah says, at the time of maut, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah was repeatedly, he says, we heard him saying, tell him not to hurry. So when he regained consciousness, he was unconscious at that time, or subconscious. So then when he regained consciousness, they asked him, what happened? What was this, not to hurry? So he says, Shaitan stood in front of me and said, Ahmad, Shabash, Mubarak, congratulations. You have protected your iman, you are leaving the world with iman. He said, don't be in a hurry, don't say that yet. Why? Because there is still ruh in my body, I may still lose my iman. So in other words, this attempt right at the end, Imam Abu Ja'far Qurtubi rahimahullah, at the time of his maut, it's mentioned in At-Tadhkira, he kept on, his family members were saying to him, were reciting La ilaha illallah in front of him, in other words, trying to encourage him to recite the kalima. And he was saying, no. So they became very worried. La. What? They are saying La ilaha illallah. He's saying La, no. When he gained consciousness, they asked him, "That what were you doing? So he said, there were two devils that were standing in front of me, and that were saying to me, that you must die as a Jew or die as a Christian. And I was saying la. I was not saying la, no to the kalima. So this, as we mentioned, and we learned from these ahadiths, a very, very critical juncture. So it's very, very important at that time to make what we call talqeenul mayyit. Now, what form does this talqeen take, and what are the adab and etiquettes of it? Shall we continue, subhanAllah.